In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are ending this four-part series of the disposition needed. And that's one of the things that when we began talking about this, Jesus always says there must be a good disposition on the souls who want to live in the divine will. And this is something, again, that when we really listen to Jesus and the disposition that he requires of us, that then it's we're nowhere close to what God wants. And we have to learn how to enter into this gift. Now, God wants to give it to us. And he says, as soon as you want the gift, you conceive Jesus in your heart. And then he says, and then for the rest of your life, you're adding on to Jesus, if you want to say, making that conception into a baby, if you want to say. And so the more that we do our acts and our rounds in the divine will, the sooner the kingdom's going to come on earth as it is in heaven. And that takes a lifetime. And it's such a powerful and beautiful gift to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And since Luis is the firstborn, the newborn of this gift, God wants to give this to all of humanity. It's his promise as creation was a divine decree. Redemption was a divine decree, and now sanctification is a divine decree, and this is God's promise. We are going to experience this new and abundant life that our Lord wants us to begin to live. So it's really a new beginning for all of humanity that our God is showing us. So, volume 29, 6:30, 1931. I was thinking about the Holy Divine Volition and how its kingdom ever could come upon earth. And given the tempestuous times that threaten with storms, the sad condition of the human generation, it seems like it's impossible for the kingdom to come. And this is something that Jesus shows us, that the sufferings that we go through are it's the stagecoach to heaven. So yes, the storms that we're in, the sad conditions of the human generation, it seems like it's impossible to begin to live this abundant life. And Luisa says, it seems to me that the indifference and the lack of disposition of those who at least are said to be good increase the impossibility. So he's saying even those that are striving to be good, the indifference and the lack of their disposition of the divine will, these are good people, good souls. He says, Luisa says it increases the impossibility. God is expecting more from us after 2000 years to live fully in this new and divine way of holiness, basically, which is the Catholic Church, embracing the teachings, the dogma and doctrine of our faith, living a truly universal life, Catholic life. And she says the indifference and the lack of disposition of those who at least are said to be good shows that the kingdom, it's almost impossible for the kingdom to come, for they have no interest in making known a divine will so holy. And God's divine will wants to give the grace, the great grace of wanting to reign in the midst of the human generations. God wants to live in us as he originally planned with Adam, so that we are in his image and likeness, so God can fully possess us and reign in us. You know, Jesus said to Luisa in volume 36, I made the senses for God. So God wants to gaze in our gazing, listen in our listening, speak in our speaking. He wants to reign in us fully, not just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's more than that. It's the Lord wants to be Lord of our life so that we can participate one with him. So the divine will wants to give the great grace of wanting to reign in the midst of the human family. And how can a good ever have life if it is not known? You know, it's if when we understand what this life is, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, to reign in God's image and likeness. If we don't fall in love with that, if we don't know what this is, how can it reign in us? If it's not part of our life, how can it reign in us? So Jesus says, Luisa, my daughter, I taught thee our Father, so that with that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, they might dispose themselves and acquire the rights to receive this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And God might feel as though the duty to give it to his children. So here Jesus is saying, you know, if we're really praying the Our Father, the kingdom is close. And he says, and if you really begin to understand what the Our Father is, knowing what it is, he says that the Lord might now feel the duty to give it to humanity. So he says, every time a soul recites the Our Father, the soul acquires a sort of right to enter into this kingdom. First, because it is a prayer taught by Jesus himself, by me, he says, that contains the value of my prayer. So because it's the prayer of Jesus and we repeat it, it contains the value of this, the only prayer that Jesus taught. Second, because the love of our divinity toward humanity is so great that we pay attention to everything. We notice everything, even the littlest acts, the holiest desires, the little prayers, to requite them, to give them the great graces that they're begging for, that they're looking for, that they're searching for. What God is showing us is the Book of Heaven explains in detail 10,000 pages, not 10,000, more than that. Of Jesus teaching Luisa how the kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is, and how the Our Father is going to bring about this new and divine way of holiness to all the earth. And Jesus says, we, the triune God, can say that they are pretexts, occasions that we, triune God, keep looking for to say to the soul, you have done this and we give you this. You have done the small, and now we, triune God, give you the great. It's just repeating what Jesus said. May your kingdom, Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You have done this, and we now give this to you. You have done the small part. You have echoed Jesus' prayer. Now we give you the great gift of the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. 5:29, 7:6, 19:31. Now, since my divine will possesses this continuous act by nature, it cannot, nor does it want to change regime just because it gives us this continuous act of good in heaven. So does it give it to all creation and to all humanity and to each one, because all receive life from this fiat of God. And it is a continuous act. And if it ceased, the life of all would cease. So here, Jesus says, as the Father says, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, teaching us this prayer through the word, Jesus Christ, this gift has to be given to everyone and to everything. And he says, it's this life, this continuous act has to be given to humanity. And our God is showing us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, at the most, there could be changes of effects because it acts according to the dispositions of each soul. Therefore, the same continuous act produces for some one effect. For some other, there are some who, unfortunately, while being under the reign of this continuous act of light and of sanctity, of beauty and of more, remain not even wet nor illuminated, nor even holy nor beautiful. And the covenant within themselves, the continuous act of good goes into darkness, into passions, and maybe even into sin. So here Jesus is saying that since we have a free will, we choose. So this fiat of God, the fiat lux, let there be light, the fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother, now the fiat voluntas tua, this prayer that we pray, the disposition of each soul has one effect for one, another effect for another. That's why I keep on saying what you're going to read, I may never see. Why? Because of your disposition and my disposition. So as you enter into this gift, as you begin to read and study and put this into practice, the more that you enter into this gift, the more you begin to see this continuous act of God, which will bring us light, sanctity, beauty. But he says some, unfortunately, will not even get slightly wet. This downpour of grace, this shower of love. Some souls are not even wet, nor illuminated, nor holy, nor beautiful, and convert within themselves the continuous good, this greatness of God to humanity, into darkness, into passions, and maybe, he says, even into sin. This is why God has given us the sacraments and sacramentals. He knows our condition. He wants us to begin to share in his divinity. As the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice, we are nothing. We're just a speck of dust. And yet he says, you are my children, and I want you to share in my divinity. And so this light, this love, this life of God, this showering of all the good of God upon humanity, Jesus says, for some, it doesn't do anything because of our lack of a good disposition. So in Volume 29, 8, 22, 19, 31, already on its own, the light of our divine will is the secretary of all things, divine and human. It knows how to keep the true secret. Now see, this secret, this is the intimacy of God. This is the oneness with God, that God is calling us to. This true secret that God wants to give, this secret to each human being. And while in appearance, one sees light, and inside this light, it hides all secrets and all things. No one can escape it. So this secret, this intimacy, this is why Jesus calls heaven the wedding feast, the true secret, the light, that inside this light hides all the secrets of God and all things, and no one can escape it. He's given it to all of humanity. And this light contains the great secret of the whole history of creation, and it confides its secrets only to the soul who wants to live in its light. In fact, the light has the virtue of disposing the soul to live and to comprehend its divine secrets, God's divine secrets. And if needed, it shall dispose the soul to lay down her life so that it may give this new and divine way of holiness, this divine life, to its intimate secrets and to the purpose of creation that was only that Jesus says, our most holy divine will, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would reign on earth as it does in heaven. This kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is the greatest secret. And when you look at humanity, unfortunately, God is very far from everyone. Our life should be, this is why when we practice the prevenient act in the morning, and then our actual acts throughout the day, we begin to say to God, I want to be fused with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to be, by fusing myself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, the new Adam, the new Eve, and the newborn, so that I can begin to pray the round of creation, round of redemption, as you, Jesus, prayed it, and as Mary prayed it, as you taught Louisa. I want to enter into this prime act of God, this single act of God, in order to begin to live this universal life, this Catholic life, the way you planned from the beginning. And therefore, you know, it's why. So that heaven is everything. Heaven is all that I want. And all the things of earth, I don't care about. The only thing I care about is heaven. Again, there's this song. I'll mention it one more time. It's the song, the first things first. If you read the lyrics, it's all about divine will. I want nothing of earth. I only want that of heaven. I want to enter into this abundant life. When you enter into that song, it's heaven. You really begin to understand someone somewhere is hearing Jesus saying your life on earth is not where you're supposed to be. As Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, she said, Our Lady of Revelation said, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong and enjoy the beatific vision, where the children of the evil one will always be trapped in time and space and never enjoy the beatific vision. Our whole goal is to for all eternity be in an awe of God, the intimate secrets of God, the purpose of creation, that the divine will would reign on earth in us, this dust as it is in heaven. Psalm 29:9-7, 1931. My daughter, you must know that when you keep disposing yourself and do your acts in my divine will remains conceived in your acts. And as you do the divine will, you give the divine will the field to form its life in the act that you do. So when you want the divine will, Jesus says, I'm conceived in your heart. Your heart becomes my throne. Now this is just a conception. And then every act that you do, he says, you add a molecule of life to that conception of Jesus, to beginning to form Jesus in your life. Now, how many molecules does it take to form a baby? how many atoms does it take to form a baby to be born? See, what happened with Our Lady, Jesus says, I want to happen with humanity. We give birth to the Lord, not the way Our Lady did from her womb, but birth. Jesus gives birth. He gazes in our gazing. He listens in our listening. He walks in our walking. He talks in our talking. It's the divine will is conceived in that act that you do. And it's added to the conception of Jesus in your life. And you have to remember, it took Louisa 70 years plus to go to heaven. I mean, after she started living in the divine will, and she's the one that could do this because she's the newborn, the firstborn. And God is asking us, have you entered into this life of being totally focused as Louisa was? Is Jesus manifesting himself through your heart, through your mind, through your soul, through the three powers, intellect, memory, and will? Is God reigning in you? And this is a question Jesus asks all of us. He says, not only this, but your new acts serve as nourishment to those that are already done. It's this growth of Jesus in you. So that Jesus in your family, Jesus is looking at your children, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers with your eyes. He's listening to all those around you with his ears. Jesus, I want you to reign in me. I want nothing to do with earth. I want everything to do with heaven. That disposition is what God is looking for. Psalm 29:9-16, 1931. As the creature disposes herself to do my divine will, so to keep rehabilitating her in the lost goods. See, this is the lost goods that Adam had. Because of the substance of my divine will is light, and everything the soul does can be called the effects of this light. So for the one who lets herself be dominated by the divine will, okay, one shall be the act, but as the substance of light that it possesses, the soul shall feel its many effects that it shall produce as the effects of the light of God, the love of God, the life of God, the works, the steps, the words, the thoughts, the heartbeat of my divine will, Jesus says, in the soul. He wants to reign. It's enough of us reigning. Because when our human will is in charge, we go to confession each week. So therefore, the soul can say, I am a single act of the supreme will. That's what Jesus is asking for us. Can we say that? Yeah. I am a single act in the supreme will of God. Everything else is nothing other than the effects of its light. Jesus gazing in our gazing, just Jesus listening in our listening, Jesus speaking in our speaking. And then Jesus said, see the necessity of your acts in order to dispose yourself to receive the knowledges of my divine fiat. So when we learn, the first thing Jesus teaches Louisa in volume 16, basically, is to do your acts and your rounds in the divine will, to pray the rounds of creation. So the necessity of these acts, Jesus says, helps you to dispose yourself to receive other knowledges of my fiat, other secrets. And let me, Jesus says, find in you the continuation of your acts in order to render them mature. So basically, you know, as soon as you, when you enter into the divine will, you love the divine will, you want to possess it completely, your whole life changes. But that's just the keys to the car, if you want to say. We have to be mature to drive the car. We have to be mature to take responsibilities, you know, of driving, of being, you know, knowing the law, knowing how to drive. It's not just the key. If you're 3 years old and receive the key, you're not going to be driving. So Jesus says, I'm getting you ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come to all the earth. And I want you to participate in this. So Jesus says this in volume 29, 10, 12, 19, 31. Do you know where we can form this life and this fulfilled act of God of ours? He says, as much as it is possible and imaginable for a soul to receive from her creator. He says, do you know how we can form this life and fulfill our act, God says, in the soul who lives in our divine will, in the soul who lets herself be dominated by the divine will. Only in that soul can we, triune God, form the divine life and carry out our fulfilled act, God in us doing it. Why does Jesus call Louisa a newborn? A newborn can't walk. It can't feed itself. The newborn can't do anything but being taken care of by the mother. And this is what Jesus is saying. I want you to be dominated by it. I only in her can we form the divine life. Only in that soul can our fulfilled act be fulfilled. Our divine will disposes the soul to receive all the divine qualities. Now, if you read the first six steps of Our Lady, Virgin Mary in the Kingdom to Louisa, the final step is receiving all the divine qualities as much as possible that a human can possess. What is that? It's to go back to where Adam was before the fall. Image and likeness of God. Do you see what God's going to bring upon the earth? It's coming. It's not here fully because there's a certain way that it's going to happen. And you're going to see it as you read, as you study. So it's not to get discouraged. It's going to happen. And Jesus is saying, you got to get more. I mean, we're basically going through Paris Island to become a Marine. It's tough. It's tough. We're learning how not to trust ourselves, but to trust the team, trust the way where we are needed by God. And it's painful. But what's coming is so astonishing. God is going to form his divine life in us, and we're going to receive all the divine qualities. What is that? It's the colors. It's the colors of God. It's the breath of God that are never interrupted. At the most skillful brushes, God painting us, paints in an admirable, intimate mastery, the most beautiful shades, the most beautiful hues, the most beautiful tones, forms and that word of our supreme being. So here what we're saying is, see, Jesus said to Louisa, I'm going to bring about my divine masterpiece. Each soul is going to be my divine masterpiece. You let me control, let me bring about what I have planned from the beginning of time, this this resemblance of me on earth, Jesus says. I want you to be in my image, my likeness. So what God is doing with each and every one of us is he's leading us, guiding us, directing us, forming us, creating us. If you've ever done pottery, you know, if you're not concentrating, you got to start over. That's what basically Jesus is showing us. Adam failed. So what does he do? He brings his mother to earth, Jesus to earth, and then the new Adam and the new Eve. And now they have the newborn Louisa. And he says, Louisa, you're not going to lose this as Adam did. And she said, how can that be? Adam had everything, right? Jesus said, yes. But he didn't have me as his Adam and Mary as his Eve. You have me as your new Adam, Mary as your new Eve, and you cannot lose this. So we know what God is going to bring about isn't going to have the sad results that Adam had, because God is going to do this. And this is why he's saying, what is your disposition? Do you want this? Do you want to enter into this? Do you want to study this? Do you want to read this? Do you want to receive the perfection of God? And when we say yes, he goes, get out of my way and watch what I'm going to do. He says this to Louisa. Louisa, get out of my way. Let me accomplish what I've planned. Volume 29, 10, 8, 19, 31. Our goods, acts, and sacrifices do not set out if they are not called. So here, this is an important thing for each and every one of us. Because by remembering them and offering them, the creature disposes themselves to recognize these acts of God, these goods of God, and to receive the good that Jesus says our acts contain. So again, calling on the divine will. We call on the divine will continuously. Come divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come divine will, dance in my dancing. Come divine will, sing in my singing. I want you, your life to be reigning in me, so that I dispose myself, because I recognize these goods that you have done, God, you, Jesus, have done, Mary have done, and the good that they contain. I want to enter into this new and abundant life. And Jesus says, moreover, there is no greater honor that you can give to all of heaven than to offer their acts and what they did on earth for the noble and most high and sublime purpose of the coming of the kingdom of the divine will upon earth. So he says, our job is to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, recognizing the saints, recognizing what they have done on earth. And now we're going to repair them. It's the most noble, the most high, the most sublime purpose for the coming of the kingdom. Now, we take everyone and everything. This is why when we pray, it's in the name of everyone and everything, all the angels, all the saints, and we repair them done in the divine will. Why? Because the saints learn how to do the will of God. Well, with Jesus, that's one through volume 10. What Jesus taught Louisa is volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now to live volume 20 through volume 36, which St. Annabelle de Francia didn't even know. And that is to receive again the divine inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was before the fall. That's what's coming. It's not here yet. Jesus is getting us ready. He says, as I prepared the prophets and the kings of the Old Testament for 4,000 years, to have Jesus, he says, the Messiah come upon earth. He says, now I've prepared the earth for the last 2,000 years. For now, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will to give to humanity. It's very close, but it's the end of the era of the evil one. It's the new era of the new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about. Volume 30, 12, 6, 1931. You must know. That's a book. If you haven't read You Must Know, you'll be really astonished of how astonishing this is. You must know that our divine will is all eyes over the happy creature who wants to live of the divine will. That's in the book of Revelation, all eyes inside and out. As the soul does her acts, it gives the soul the bath of divine life. This bath of light is like the preparation to be able to cross the thresholds, to tear down the veil that hides our divine being to humanity. See, this is April 1st is like the first day of crossing the Red Sea. It's the bath of light, the preparation to cross the thresholds, to tear down the veil that hides God, to be one with humanity again. Remember, Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. That's the perennial communion that Jesus says he's going to bring to his church. Right now, we have the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And when we receive Holy Communion, we are in communion with Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're in communion with God. And what God is waiting for, he's waiting for us to so embrace this communion, he says, it's to prepare the world for the perennial communion that's coming with a divine will. This bath of light to cross the threshold, to tear the veil that hides our divine being. More so, since it is our interest, Jesus says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the soul who lives in our divine will be like us and do not do a thing that would be unworthy of our majesty, thrice holy. So therefore, our job, and this is the freedom that he gives us in the divine will. Listen to this. He says, since our interest is that the soul who lives in our divine will be like us, we are not going to do a thing that would be unworthy of God's majesty, thrice holy. See, he's going to bring us to perfection. That's not here yet. We go to confession each week, but it's close. Therefore, think that this is a bath of light that my divine will gives you every time you dispose yourself to do your acts in this interminable light of God so that you may be attentive to receive it. It's not just, I'm going to do this. I'm building my house and I'm putting my cement down. I'm putting my beams in and therefore it's going to be mine. No, Jesus says, this is God's light. Be attentive to what you're doing. You're going to re-enter into God's image and likeness. He says, my divine masterpiece I'm going to make of every one of my children. Volume 30, 12, 8, 19, 31. My daughter, our celestial mama, holds primacy over all the good acts of humanity. That's our Blessed Mother. Primacy over all the good of humanity. And she, as queen, has the mandate and the right to make the whirlwind of all their acts into her acts. When we pray with a Blessed Mother, especially during Lent, taking her tears and presenting them to Jesus, praying for one with us, it's her right to make, as Jesus says, as queen, the mandate and the right to withdraw all of our acts into her acts. Her love of queen and of mother is so great that if the creature disposes herself to form Our Lady's acts of love, then from the heights of her throne, Our Lady makes a ray of her love descend into us. And as the new Eve, and she invests and surrounds our act of love to place in them from her own act, as prime act of love. She did it perfectly as mother and queen. The new Adam, Jesus, did it perfectly as Son of God. Mary did it perfectly as the Mother of God, Theotokos, to place in us her own prime act of love. This is why I know God is going to work. I know he's going to work. He has to work because it's a new and divine way of holiness that God is calling us to live. It's the life of Jesus. It's the life of Mary. We back out of the way and say, I surrender it to you. You put the final touches on it. You put your prime act of love on it and present it to the triune God. And as it is formed, Our Lady takes it up within her same ray of love, back into the font of her love, and she says to her creator, to our God, adorable majesty, in my love that always springs from you, Jesus, there is the love of my children fused within my own, that I, with right of queen, have withdrawn into my ocean, the sea of love, so that you may find in my own all the love of all of humanity. It's perfected. Are you doing it? No. Jesus says you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. How do we do this? It's with the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. Jesus told us this way back when, and the saints were going, how can I become perfect? How can I do this? Oh, yes, we have the Blessed Mother. Oh, yes, we have you, Jesus. Yes, but we're still in the fallen nature. We have been redeemed, but we still have to go to confession each week. But a time is coming when that fullness is going to be here, and we're going to enjoy it. It's the beatific vision on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus has planned. Volume 30, 12, 21, 19, 31. Here then is the reason for my so much speaking about my divine will. For every word that you have written, Louisa, for every word that people read that you have written, it's the power of my creative word, and it shall dispose humanity and shall give humanity the desire, the change of the human will. And knowing what I want to open the doors, they shall knock, and immediately I shall open for them, so that I myself may be satisfied, and I myself may have the fortunate people that shall give me in return for my life that I gave for them, and their life in exchange for mine, my human misery for God's perfection. Do you see what's happening here? This is a new and divine way of holiness. I want to open the doors. Who opens the doors? Jesus said to Louisa, Louisa, you must be the key that the Holy Father is going to use to open the doors of the kingdom. And, you know, I all that we can see right now, the doors are still closed. That great event where the Holy Father calls everyone to live as Catholics hasn't occurred yet. It's coming. It's very close. When he opens the door, he said to Louisa, you must be the key. Who? For whom? For the Pope, who will open the doors. And as they knock, immediately I will open to them. See, it's in proper order. Why did he give the keys to Peter? Because Peter's the one that's going to open the door. Why is everybody saying Peter's at the gates of the New Jerusalem, of heaven? It has to go in proper order. It hasn't happened yet. Hang on to your hat. It's very close. Great things are coming. So Jesus says to us that I want in return for my life what I gave to them, my life in exchange for their life, my life for their death. Therefore, let me do this, Jesus says, and I shall dispose of things in a way that my word shall not be a dead word, but alive, and shall give life with all its admirable effects. God is doing this. His words are going to come. This is when I read the Book of Heaven. Everybody who reads this, his words are alive, more so than ever before. Volume 30. 1:3:1932. Now, just as my coming upon earth was our second degree, so our third degree is the kingdom of our divine will upon earth. And even more, it can be said that one and the other are one single decree. And having carried out the first part of this decree, creation, we were able to carry out the second part of the decree, which is redemption. He says, and it is true that we place ourselves according to the good disposition of humanity in order to give the great good that an act of our divine will can produce. And therefore, at the most, we take time and we make our way in the midst of their evils in order to dispose them for the third decree, which is sanctification. It's a new and divine way of holiness is coming. Never seen before. Well, it was Adam possessed it. Jesus and Mary lived it. But now it's going to be given to all of humanity. That's why everything is happening. It seems like everything's falling apart, but in reality, God's getting everything ready. Volume 30, 1-7, 1932. My daughter, my divine will has surprising and different ways of acting, and it acts according to the dispositions of humanity. Many times it makes known what it wants, but it leaves it up to the disposition of humans to do it or not to do it. And this is called the wanted will. This is what God is waiting for. He wants his wanted will to happen. Other times, to the violation, it adds the command will. Other times to its volition, it adds its command will. So it's wanted and it commands and it gives double grace so that its command may be executed. And this is for all Christians. Not doing this means not being even Christians. Another way is operative way, and it descends into the act of the creature and operates as if the act of the creature were its own. And therefore, as its own act, it places it in its life, in its sanctity, in its operating virtue. But in order to come to this, the soul must be accustomed to the wanted and the command will. Okay, so this is what we're learning. What does God want for us? What is God commanding us? That prepares the void in the human act in order to receive the operating act of the divine fiat. But it does not stop. The operating act, listen to this, this is our God. The operating act calls for the fulfilled act. And the fulfilled act is the holiest, is the most powerful, is the most beautiful act, the most refulgent light that my divine will can do. That's where God is offering to us, this fulfilled act. That's why we do our prevening act in the morning. So, volume 30, 1-12, 1932. For as many times as you repeat praying your rounds, again, this is praying your round of creation, praying your rounds of redemption. So many times do you repeat the pledges, make the commitments, and commit us, Triune God, to dispose things, to give great graces, helps in order to give as kingdom the great gift of the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. We haven't seen anything yet. Creation isn't completed yet. With this great gift of the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven, what Jesus proclaimed to his apostles, and we've been praying for 2,000 years, that is coming, and it's going to be explosive. It's going to be so beautiful. Volume 30, 130, 1932. My daughter, you must know that our love gives of the incredible. Our divine will is the spy of the creature, and it keeps spying to see when the soul is disposed. Why? To receive its blowing breath of God, the Ruah of God that contains the love of God, because it knows that the creature does not possess a great quantity of divine love. And she is just as a particle, a speck to the infinite love from when the soul was created. If it had not been nourished, it is like a fire that is under ashes, such that while the fire exists, the ashes keep it covered and repressed in a way that it cannot even make heat felt. Human love, we do not want. Therefore, our divine will, Jesus says, uses its loving strategisms, and it spies on the disposition of the souls and then breathes on them, blowing this breath, this Ruah of God, like a light breeze to put to flight the ashes that the human will has produced. And the particle of our infinite love is revived and it lights up. My divine will continues to blow, and it adds more divine love. The soul feels herself being emptied. The soul feels itself being warmed. The soul experiences the cooling of love, the coolings of love from within the particle of that infinite love that the soul possesses. Then the soul loves us, Triune God. The soul gives us, Triune God, as our own divine love back to God. We breathe in, we breathe out. We'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.